Thank you. In examining the budget picture for this particular bill, it's important to note that this is within the budget that has been produced by this House of Representatives and the allocation that has been provided to this subcommittee. Of course, the Congress, working with the President and his administration, has rightfully put a priority on spending for ongoing conflict in Iraq and the war on terror. And at the same time, we have a serious federal deficit. These have forced this body and our Appropriations Committee and our subcommittee to make many difficult and challenging choices. This bill reflects the difficulty of those choices. In fact, if you look at this bill, Mr. Chairman, and compare it with last year's parallel bill, you will find that this particular measure is $3 billion below the amount that we spent on the same accounts last year. There are reasons that it's not a pure apples to apples comparison, but nevertheless, the bill is below what the similar funding was for last year. That reflects, again, the priority choices and the tough choices we've made. So we will hear during debate upon this measure, many people say, oh, I wish we had more money for this program or that or some other. But the answer is that we don't. We're in deficit spending already. And this is about as fiscally irresponsible bill as you will find before this body this year. Overall, the bill provides a total of $89.9 billion for transportation, for the Treasury Department, the Internal Revenue Service, highways, transit, rail programs, seafaring programs, and the heart of the executive branch, including the White House itself. Overall, for salary and expense accounts, the bill does provide increases, some 2.6%, but that's within the context of a bill that overall is $3 billion less than the bill last year. So many agencies will have to do some belt tightening, and we've tried to give them the maximum flexibility to manage those resources. I appreciate the fact that the gentleman from Florida, the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, Mr. Bill Young, didn't have the funds that he would have liked to have had to put into highways and other forms of transportation. But he gave us a fair allocation, and I'm grateful for it. And not only is it $3 billion below last year's spending on these accounts, it also is below the amounts requested by the President in his budget. There were some highly controversial provisions that we did not include. Some people said, well, if you can put a provision in your bill to end a process known as dumping, which has to do to reparation payments to industry to offset unfair trade practices, then you can grab over $1 billion to put back into the bill. But Mr. Chairman, that would not have been good, because whatever your position on dumping, I know it has not passed this House, and we cannot assume that we're going to have money that we will not have. But I'm pleased that despite the budget constraints that we've had, we have been able to improve what is the most important part of our transportation network, and that is the funding for highways. The $34 billion in this bill for highway funding is $1 billion above funding for highways last year. So in the context of a bill that itself is $3 billion below last year, when we're still able to improve highway funding, that shows that we've addressed priorities and tried to put the money where it's most important. That money for highways is going to be very good news for the economy, because each $1 billion of highway investment is estimated to create some 40,000 jobs. There's also some confusion in the context of this bill, Mr. Chairman, because we have a two-stage process. We have still pending in a conference committee a surface transportation, highways and transit reauthorization bill. I don't want to confuse this bill with that. The reauthorization bill establishes a framework for spending transportation dollars. But this bill actually provides the money. We do not have a new framework created, so we've had to assume that the old framework remains in place. But we're going to have some controversy over that, Mr. Chairman, because we've not been able to achieve passage into law of a highway reauthorization bill. We have some technicalities, some rules of this House, that I know many members are going to come forward and they're going to raise what's called points of order. They are going to say, oh, you've got to strike this part out of the bill because we've not authorized it. Well, we've been waiting a year for an authorization bill that hasn't happened. We had to do our work anyway. And some people may want to try to pick the bill apart and say, you're putting money into something that's not authorized. And under the rules of the House, they may be successful in doing that. But I want to reassure every member of this body, we're going to repair those things when it gets to conference. We're going to have the same kind of responsible bill that the Appropriations Committee has produced that will come out of conference regardless of how people may want to pick at it with parliamentary tactics on the House floor today. It's not the fault of the Appropriations Committee that a reauthorization measure has not passed as the rules of the House dictated that it should have been a year ago. Let me then look at some other details of the bill. The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, will receive a 3% increase for its operations, less than they requested, but more than the government-wide average for non-defense, non-homeland security programs. That, again, is because we have put priority into aviation funding just as we have in highway funding, and we have put cuts in place elsewhere in the bill to compensate for that. The bill meets the aviation funding guarantees mandated by authorizing legislation, which has passed this body. It provides the budget request for the capital investment programs of the FAA and of grants and aid for airports all across America. The Essential Air Service Program, not one of which I personally am fond, but which I know is important to many members of this body, receives the same funding as it did in FY04. And there's $20 million for the Small Community Air Service Program. Amtrak is always a point of controversy in this House. The bill proposes $900 million for Amtrak, the same amount suggested by the administration in their budget proposal. And I believe it's a responsible number for Amtrak, because Amtrak still has not resolved its long-term problems, and we have not developed the kind of partnerships that we need with states and communities that want Amtrak service, investing in Amtrak service. The administration believes, and I agree, that realistic Amtrak reform has to be enacted before we start putting more money into that passenger rail service. The Secretary of Transportation and the President and his administration believe the amount in this bill is sufficient to keep that rail service operating in the next year, and I agree with them. Funding for transit in the bill is essentially at the level of FY04, also the same as the administration requested. But we've done some adjustment inside of the numbers. Within the overall total, we have put more of the transit funding into the formula grant program that goes into every community in every state in the country on a formula basis. That benefits everyone. We put more money through the formula and less in the so-called New Starts program, which is fixed guideway and light rail programs and so forth that only benefit a handful of communities. We've tried to put the transit funding more than ever before into the formula that benefits everyone, not just select areas of the country. I want to make one more comment about the New Starts program. We don't know how much money is going to be available over the next 5 years to fund these very expensive rail systems that a lot of communities want and often do not do the necessary cost-benefit analysis. The Department of Transportation Inspector General told us this year there are far more systems being proposed than we will ever have money to pay for. The requests exceed the resources by billions of dollars. So this bill takes a prudent step to slow down that program, put money instead into the formula grants, instead of making some decisions that we might regret tomorrow on how we prioritize the New Starts program. But the bill does fully fund all the existing full funding grant agreements on New Starts programs that are between different communities and the Federal Transit Administration. In the Treasury Department portion of this bill, which includes the Internal Revenue Service, we essentially have funded it at the same level as fiscal year 04. Some of the proposals they have submitted, we believe, need further refinement. New initiatives, such as the IRS initiative to increase its hiring to improve collections, are too financially ambitious for the budget climate that we have. One of the largest increases, however, in the bill, percentage-wise, 12.7%, goes to what's known as FinCEN. It's the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. It's part of the Department of Treasury, and it's part of counterterrorism activities, trying to disrupt the financial bases of terrorists. And when we look at another part of the bill, the Executive Office of the President, the White House, and the offices that work with the White House is actually a little bit below last year's because we've reduced contract programs. The bill includes funding for the majority of the construction program of the GSA, the General Services Administration, that is the landlord for the federal government. But even though it includes the majority of the GSA construction program, and GSA says it has something like a $7 billion backlog, we have shaved back those requests to meet our budget allocation. All 12 border stations that are proposed in the budget request are fully funded because of the priority that we've given to Homeland Security. A more complete summary of all the funding levels in the bill, Mr. Chairman, as well as significant provisions, is in the committee report at pages 3 and 4, and I direct members to those pages. And, Mr. Chairman, a final comment before I close my debate for now. A final comment about the messiness that I know we're going to experience with the points of order and money that's in the bill being stricken. We are probably going to have to offer some amendments of what do we do with the money. I'd just as soon have it go to pay the national debt, but in our protocol, that's not the way that it works in this process. So if some money is stricken on points of order, I will offer the necessary amendments to park that money into some of the major accounts, with the understanding that when we get to conference, we will be overcoming the parliamentary problems of those points of order and restoring that money to the transportation programs that I think some people are going to try to take it from with their points of order. I want to give a special thank you to the gentleman from Massachusetts, Mr. Alver, our ranking member. Mr. Alver presents his personal views and the views of the minority tenaciously and effectively, and he's good to work with. And I appreciate that and his no-nonsense approach to things. I also appreciate our staff that's worked so well, and will reiterate a thank you to them later on before we close this debate. This is a good bill. It is a solid bill. It is responsible. It merits and deserves the support of every member of this body. And I ask that everyone support it when we come to passage of the bill. Mr. Chairman, I reserve the balance of my time.